This is the John Gibson Morning Digestion, headlines and my take on the news, starting now.
Okay, it is June 12th. Man, things are moving very fast, very, very fast. I must say that the news is kind of thin today. I don't really understand why. Sometimes I think that the ebb and flow of what we see in the papers has to do with, you know, are reporters and editors all stoked about going after Trump today, or they somehow feel winded or need a break or something. But, you know, so anyway, let's start with politics. In Iowa, the Biden-Trump feud builds. This is in a few places. I've got the Washington Post version up here. Biden attacked him a zillion times, supposedly 76. And Trump, of course, called him a dummy and weak mentally. So they're going at it. Also in Iowa, Bernie, Trump is a socialist for the wealthy. It's in the New York Post. In Fox News, like Beto, Kamala promises to prosecute Trump if she's elected. New York Post, Biden flips. China is a serious competitor to the U.S. Remember, it was just a little while ago. He said, come on, they're nothing. Well, he got taken to the woodshed by his own people on that one. The Politico, Iowa senior moment. This is Biden and Trump and Bernie trouncing around, attacking each other. And it's a Washington Post story. It appears in the San Francisco Gate, though. Democrat Marsha Fudge calls Trump supporters racist and dumb on the House floor. New York Times running a big piece by Mark Leibovich, which is worth reading, although I must say it's, you know, it's like one of their flashy pieces. It's got graphics and stuff. He went out on the campaign trail in Iowa, and he says basically none of the Dem presidential contenders know what they're doing. They don't have any idea. They're just out there kind of flailing away, trying to stay alive for the debates, and they don't really know what it is or what it's going to take to win, to beat Trump. They're trying lots of things, but they have no idea. Washington Post, John Dean's appearance before Nadler was a flop. The Washington Post admits it. It's in the last sentence of the piece. Let me call this piece up because it really is interesting. The last sentence says, his appearance underscored the Democrats' difficulty in finding a compelling witness against Trump. In other words, he wasn't very good, but he was the best they had. And, you know, that's that. And this is interesting, the Washington Post. There's a guy there who's sort of the media critic. His name's Eric Wemple. His wife works for Mother Jones or The Nation or one of those far-left magazines. So he's writing a piece attacking Sarah Sanders, you know, for not holding briefings and for only doing interviews with Fox and Friends and then, you know, answering questions while she walks back to her office. But the headline says, Sarah Sanders, mouthpiece for fascism. And I thought, now, wait a minute. Is the New York Post, is the Washington Post really going to do this? So I went down to piece to see where it was that Eric Wemple was saying that she was a mouthpiece for fascism. And he didn't. But he posted Alec Baldwin's tweet, which called her a mouthpiece for fascism. And the New York Post editors pulled that line out and put it in the headline. There's something wrong with that. Trump. All the media making a big deal of him waving this piece of paper but not showing it. This was supposedly the secret side agreement and the deal with Mexico. And he was bragging on it that, you know, we have something here that's really... Now, the Mexicans deny that they made any such agreement, but Trump is waving this piece of paper around. Well, a Washington Post photographer got a picture of the paper, and everybody's now trying to read it. That's in the Washington Post. Washington Post, is impeachment a good or bad thing for Trump? He is conflicted. A lot of his friends are saying this is good for you. It'll mean you'll win 40 states. But then again, it puts a stain on his presidency, and he sees it as delegitimizing his presidency that he had a phony win. So he is conflicted about impeachment, but he attacks it. In any case, he attacks the people who want to impeach him. He attacks the idea of impeachment, blah, 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 blah. LA Times, migrants. You wanted migrants admitted? Okay, you got them. Blythe, California, out in the desert, inundated with new arrivals. The immigration service is showing up in Blythe and dropping them off at a church. This is a small town out in the desert. And they've had 2,600 of these new arrivals just dropped on them recently. The Washington Post, it's actually the San Francisco Gate is running the Washington Post story, but the Guatemala migration is because of falling coffee prices. It's a lot of guats being put out of work because of falling coffee prices. Tech, Trump is the king of Facebook ads. That's in the LA Times. Wall Street Journal, Chinese cash is suddenly toxic in Silicon Valley. The Chinese had set up there and were, funding various startups and so forth. Now everybody wants to get as far away from them as possible. Wall Street Journal, pranksters make fake video of Mark Zuckerberg and post it on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, New York Post. The chopper pilot who crashed into that building, he had radioed that he was lost. Evidently, he wasn't trying to land on that building. He just crashed into it. LA Times. John Stewart chews out Congress for not showing up for 9/11 first responders hearing. This is, there's a bill to fund these guys' medical expenses, and it's been hung up in Congress forever, and Stewart was there to appear with several of them who were very sick from the cancers they got showing up at the World Trade site. And the members of Congress didn't show up for the hearing, and John Stewart just was outraged and chewed them out and said they were shameful, and they probably are. LA Times, 25 years ago, OJ killed Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Kim Goldman, Ron's sister, is still on a crusade to make him pay. And OJ, of course, the last couple of days has said, life is good. I'm fine. LA Times, how Santa Barbara became the pot-growing capital of not just California, but of the world. I mean, out there in the wine country of Santa Barbara County, Santa Ynez Valley, acres upon acres upon acres of these white hoop tent buildings in there growing pot. And this story in the LA Times explains how the Santa Barbara County supervisors, who I used to cover when I worked there, made a rule that there's some kind of moratorium on, pot farms, but if you could prove that you were growing pot on land you owned before the moratorium, you could, just go ahead. Well, it's a fine rule, except they did nothing about enforcing it. You didn't have to prove you owned the land. You didn't have to prove you already were growing pot, nothing. And so it's been an explosion of pot growth in Santa Barbara. The email address is host@johngibson.com. The bitch box is 859-J-Gibson, 859-J-Gibson. Leave me a message. I'll put it in the podcast today. Write me an email. I'll put it in the podcast today. And that's it for the Morning Digestion. See you this afternoon with the podcast.